Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. Please listen, but I know you all know it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I've chosen to preach through the Beatitudes of Jesus this summer. We're a little bit more than halfway through that. And this morning I will read one of those Beatitudes for us. It's the Beatitude calling us to be full of mercy, to love mercy. Now we heard mercy in the reading already here today, that familiar 23rd Psalm. I had it read in the King James Version because you can't improve on it in any other version. I've read dozens of other versions of the 23rd Psalm, but you cannot improve on the old King James when it comes to this wonderful, wonderful Psalm, reminding us that we are being pursued. Something's following us. Goodness and mercy are following us right behind all the days of our lives. So if we look and see where we've just been, God has been there. Goodness and mercy following us, catching up on us, right behind us, the mercy of God. Now, of course, mercy is something that is not just an occasional thing in the Bible, is it? You go through the Bible, 66 books, and mercy is a refrain. It just keeps flowing through Scripture. I love that one from Micah 6:8, where it says, "What does the Lord require? What is God asking us? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God." And of course, when we read the Gospels, I mean, every story that Jesus is involved in is a mercy story, isn't it? Whether it's feeding the hungry or healing the sick or giving hope to the broken, it's always a story of God's great, wonderful mercy. And so we should not be surprised that as we see the Sermon on the Mount being introduced through these wonderful Beatitudes, that Jesus would say something like this: "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Let us pray. God, may your Holy Spirit so fall afresh upon us this day, that hearing the written word and the spoken word, that the word will be made flesh in us. Amen. The mighty Roman Empire was mighty indeed. It lasted for centuries, didn't it? And it covered continents all across the known Mediterranean world, from England to Britain to Egypt. We have these Roman roads, we have these Roman sea crossings and ships. We have these artifacts, these discoveries of these Roman baths. The Romans loved their baths, and so wherever they went, they would build these tremendously beautiful and elaborate baths in England or wherever they happened to be, the soldiers and sailors. The walls may be of marble and the floors mosaic, and these baths would have several components. There was a hot bath and a really hot bath and a cold bath and changing rooms and rooms there where you could have oil put on your body and scraped off, and people went to have their daily bath and to talk politics and whatever. And of course, the greatness of that Roman world was in its military, wasn't it? 300, 400, at one point up to 500,000 troops. Oh, they were expertly trained. They were well fed. They were trained, they were enabled, they knew all the latest scientific warfare techniques. It's known that some of those Roman soldiers would go into battle against an enemy that was 10 times larger, and they would be victorious. Some of them were taught long distance swimming, and they would swim across large distances of water and then surprise an enemy who had no idea that someone could cross such a body of water, but they were trained to do so. But the Roman army, this mighty Roman army, like the world had never seen, was defeated by an unseen enemy. It's called a pandemic. It's called disease. You can't see it. At least two plagues in the first century. One in 166. It came from China. Imagine that, a plague from China. It traveled across the Silk Road. It made its way into Rome and to all the provinces, and it decimated the army. Farmers left their crops in the fields and fled. People in the cities fled the cities. And then 100 years later, it happened again. This time a pandemic from Ethiopia travels across the known world. The great Roman army now becomes the carriers of these diseases into the cities and towns. And once again, the farmers leave their fields. The taxes fall off. The army is difficult to maintain. 5,000 people a day are dying in Rome. The army has to recruit others outside of Rome for its mighty forces, so they take in anybody they can. It was the beginning of the end of the mighty Roman Empire. And in both of these plagues, something happened that the world had never seen before. People were abandoning their own families, you see. People in the cities, people in the countryside. It was a terrible time. And if you were sick, you were out of luck. But something extraordinary happened. There was a small group of people . They were despised. They were called atheists. They were called atheists because they didn't believe in bending the knee to the Roman gods. They had another way to worship. People who were crying out for thirst were brought water. People whose fever had reached unbelievable suffering, someone would come and put a cold towel upon their head. As people lay dying in their homes and streets, this strange sect of people would come and minister to them. They would hold their hands as they died. They would pray for them. They would bury the dead. The world had never seen, ever, anything like this. This group of people not only ministered to their own families that were suffering, but they ministered to all of the other people as well. And it didn't matter how old or young or what they believed or how rich or poor, they brought their ministry of compassion and mercy. Secular historians, not religious historians, not church historians, but secular historians will say, as a result of these two plagues and this sect, this small group of people who called themselves Christians, that this was the primary force, the primary reason, the cause, you see, of this small, hated minority of people in the Roman Empire growing across the earth, so that very soon it became a worldwide movement of faith. And people of every tribe and every color and every language and every social condition, it didn't matter who they were brought into this new thing. Called church. The world had never seen anything like that before. And not too long ago, it happens. You know, it keeps happening, doesn't it? Not too long ago, a deranged killer went into a small Amish schoolhouse. One of the young girls in that schoolhouse said, "Kill me first," hoping that if the killer would kill her first, maybe he would be satisfied and leave the others be. And after that horrible moment, the families, the Amish families, began to minister to the families of the killer. And then it happened again. It happened in Charleston, South Carolina, where someone went into a midweek service with a gun and killed those who had gathered to pray in Charleston, South Carolina that evening. One of the reporters, I heard him say on the radio, he went down to cover that event, and he watched how these people rose up and strengthened in blessing and forgiveness. And he said, I've never seen anything like that before. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus gives the Beatitudes in a different form. They're called blessings and woes. It's where Jesus gives these blessings and woes, and then he says, you know, he gives that golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then he goes into this amazing paragraph. And in that paragraph, he defines what mercy looks like. He defines what it looks like for us to live in the world. He defines what it looks like so that when people see Christian, when they see church, they say, we've never seen anything like this before. And what Jesus says in that amazing paragraph is, love your enemies. He says, if you love those who love you, big deal, Lucille. What good is that? Everybody can do that. It doesn't take anything for us to love back those who love us. And then Jesus says, as he concludes that paragraph, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Mercy is what God looks like. Mercy is what we look like. It's the air we breathe. It's the nourishment we receive. Blessed? Oh my, yes. Blessed are the merciful. They are like God. Amen.